Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice is our question this hour. And our guest, Trent Horn, apologist, speaker extraordinaire, podcaster, and among his books, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue. If you're a pro-choice person, we'd love to have a conversation with you. 888-318-7884 is the number, but I got to be honest with you. There's only one line open right now, so you're probably going to want to dial that if you'd like to get in this hour. 888-318-7884. Trent, welcome back.
Good to be back, Si.
Thank you for the SNL reference on the way out of the last hour. I got a fever and the only cure is more cowbell.
Kowtowing me, yes, more cowbell.
Yeah. The great Christopher Walken.
Got a fever.
Who?
And Will Ferrell was in that sketch. Very good.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
When Christopher Walken's in something, I only notice Christopher Walken. The man's a genius. Have you ever seen him dance? Did you know he's a dancer? Like he's a real dancer, like a hoofer.
Wasn't he in a music video a while back? I'm trying to remember.
I don't know.
Maybe it was a Fastboy Slim video. I'm trying to remember. I'm really, really certain.
Did you make that up? Is Fastboy Slim a real thing?
Yes, it is.
Is he just making up bands?
That
now?
Was on when I was a kid. That was on. Now that's what I call music, like volume 8 or 9. Now they're at like volume, I think 59, 58.
Now that's what I call. Oh my gosh, I listened to a lot of hours of that stuff.
Yeah.
Joel in Nebraska, you're going to be starting us off today. Joel's listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. I mean, starting us off this hour. Joel, why are you pro-choice?
Are you there?
We're here, Joel.
We are here.
You can hear me. Good. Hey, I'm pro-choice. My question was, how come more schools aren't teaching natural family planning instead of contraception? And although you guys aren't public school teachers, you're based in California, and if I remember correctly, that's where the sexual revolution started.
Well, I mean, that's one of its hotspots, but so you're wondering why don't more like public schools teach natural family planning? Like public high schools?
Yes.
Well, natural family planning is a way it's designed for married couples to determine when they're fertile or infertile, so that
Correct.
when they engage in sexual intimacy, they'll know how to space their children. But students in high school aren't married. There's no point in teaching them. You could teach them the basics of NFP, but they don't need to learn the method because they ought to be practicing abstinence because they're not married.
Correct. But doesn't that teach abstinence at its core?
Doesn't what teach abstinence at its core?
Natural family planning.
Yes. Well, at its core is being able to track your partner's fertility, your fertility as a couple. And then if you want to space your births, you would abstain. I'm not sure where – so people who are not married should abstain from sexual intimacy because sex is for the expression of marital love.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
I am very confused, if I may just say, Joel, how does – a lack of teaching natural family planning lead to being a pro-choice person.
Yeah,
that connection I didn't get.
Yeah, why do you think abortion should be legal?
At points.
At what points?
In my young life, I thought abortion should be legal. I shouldn't be on the program.
Okay. Well, yeah, because thank you for phoning in, Joel. But what we're looking for now are people who think who are now pro-choice and think abortion should be legal. So that's a helpful clarification there.
But thanks
for calling.
Every other hour of the week you can call, though, Joel, and
sure.
You are always welcome to do that. Let us go now to Ashley in Virginia. Ashley, thank you so much for your call. Why are you pro-choice?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
All right, fantastic. Hi, guys. It's my first time calling in, so thanks so much. Before I begin, I'm just really glad that you guys are having this topic and that you're talking about it, because, again, I agree that this topic should be talked in a really respectful manner and not having these, you know, people just going back and attacking each other. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
But the reason that I am pro-choice is because, and I'm sure that people have called in before with these points, is I just feel that, and, you know, there are situations where you have incest rape. I know that Mary had mentioned, you know, there are sometimes medical complications that can occur, you know, if the woman was going to go to full term. Now, I know that those are unusual circumstances. However, in my opinion, it's just, it's very hard for me, and this is going to probably sound very sexist, but it's very hard for me to listen to men, and this is to be disrespectful in any way, but for men to say, okay, a woman, you know, cannot have abortion, they can't do this, because a man has no idea, you know, what a woman goes through, what maybe they, you know, kind of what they're feeling. So it's really hard for me to understand that, but...
Well, may I just clarify something with you real quick? Would you like to talk about why men shouldn't be talking about this, or would you like to talk about why you are pro-choice?
No, absolutely not. No, I'd like to say why I'm pro-choice. It's just I don't think that...
I don't mind addressing that, though. I understand your concern about men talking about things they have no idea about. I get that. Like, if a man says, I don't think pregnancy is that hard, if anybody, because you could have a young woman who's never been pregnant who says, I don't think pregnancy is that hard. We have no right to talk about that because you've never been pregnant, whether you're a man or a woman, you know, a man who will never be pregnant or a woman who hasn't become pregnant yet. It's like, hey, don't talk about things you don't know what you're talking about here. Or, I don't think giving birth is that hard. If you haven't given birth, even if you have, everybody's childbirth is different. But I think you can comment on a moral issue even if it doesn't affect you. Like, I can say it's wrong for the owner of a restaurant to not serve African Americans because he doesn't like them. He's racist. Even though I neither own a restaurant nor am African American, so I won't be in either of those shoes. But I can sit back and say, hey, that's wrong. That's unjust. You shouldn't do that. Even if it doesn't affect me, I can see something that's wrong, and I should say something about it. So do you see how men, one, at an abstract level, men would have an interest then to say, hey, I see something's wrong here with abortion. I should say something, like, you know, racism or anything else that may not affect them. And two, a lot of times abortion does affect men. Like, if a man, like, what's weird is a guy and a girl could sleep together, and if the girl keeps the baby, the guy pays child support, even if he doesn't want to have a baby. Or she could have an abortion, even if he wants to keep the baby, he's up a river. Like, you know, he has no say in the matter. So it seems like men do get affected by abortion in some ways, right?
Right.
Okay. So I think men's voices are a valid thing to hear about the morality of the issue. Now, I agree with you on subjective things.
Yeah.
On subjective things, no. But on the morality, we're all human beings here. We have rational say. Now, let's talk about, though, why you're pro-choice. It sounds like you think abortion should be legal in some cases, but not others.
Yes, and I don't, and I know that it's going to be like, okay, when is it actually, when does a child become a child? I know that's at, what is the word I'm looking for? Immediately after conception, you know, it's considered, the cells are considered a human, a child. To me, and this is just my opinion, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack, but I don't believe in late-term abortions. And I've gone in this conversation with my boyfriend many times, but I think that in some cases, yes, it should be legal. I don't believe in late-term, you know, abortions. I don't agree with that at all. But I just think, you know, I think, I don't know, somebody brought up, a gentleman had called up and said, if you make this illegal, women are going to like find any other way that they can to abort that. I do think that women will then go to any kind of situation possible to do that. And I think it can lead to very unsafe and even worse ways. But I do think in some situations, yes, that abortion should be legal.
Right. But the problem is here, you yourself agree some abortions should be illegal. Like if you're not for late term abortion, and you make it illegal, some women might try to do a back alley late term abortion. But the consequences of that doesn't seem to deter your opposition to late term abortion. So I guess then my question is really, I mean, it's kind of along the line. I don't like using words like when does it become a child? Because child is kind of, especially baby or child, they're kind of more emotional terms. They don't have a very specific meaning. I prefer to do terms like when does the life of an individual human being begin, or what makes us a human being? So I guess for you, if you're not for late-term abortion, you got to draw the line somewhere. So where do you draw the line in pregnancy, and why do you draw it there without being arbitrary?
Right. For me personally, I guess it would be when the heartbeat is when you can find that or when that's determined.
When why do you pick heartbeat?
I guess because that's, to me, that's a living, breathing organism. And I know that these cells, yeah, they're creating mm-hmm. that life, but that's just when the heartbeat, that means sure. life to me. Well, and I get it. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Sure.
So
no,
I'm
that's
probably,
fine.
Like, I'm probably getting a lot of flack because I'm not the best Catholic. I'm just coming to Catholicism. So I still have a lot of questions. I'm probably very ignorant on a lot of terms.
You're trying, but again, you're trying to sort through it. And I think that's a really good thing. So I'm happy to hear that. Did you know that an unborn child, when they're an embryo, they develop, their heart begins to beat at around 18 to 21 days after they're conceived. So that takes place before all surgical abortions, basically all chemical abortions. When most people find out they're pregnant, there already is a heart beating.
Mm-hmm.
So that would entail you'd have to be against a lot of abortions then. So we have to come up on a break here, Ashley, but I tell you what, I hope you will stay on the line with our call screener. I would like to send you two books, actually. One is my book, Why We're Catholic, and it's written for people who aren't Catholic or who are new to being Catholic. That kind of explains what we believe and why. So Why We're Catholic. And then I have a bigger book that's just on abortion called Persuasive Pro-Life. But I would recommend that you read Why We're Catholic first. It even has a chapter on abortion called Why We Defend Life. So I very much hope you will stay on the line and our call screener can get your contact information and we'll send you those because it sounds like you have a very open mind and I appreciate that. And nobody should give you flack because you have an opinion and you want to present it and you want to think critically. People should not give you flack for that ever, really. As long as you're thinking it through, that's a good thing. So would that be all right? Is Ashley still there? Would that be all right with you?
I'd love to have that too. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. I'll definitely read them. Thanks so much,
guys. Okay, great. Stay on the line. We'll get that to you.
Thanks, Ashley. Trent's right. We got to take a break. But right now we've got a free ebook we want to give you. So if you go to it says go to shop.catholic.com, download your free copy of Making the Most of Lent, A Spiritual Companion. We usually send people to the Facebook page. That's why I got confused. But it says here, go to shop.catholic.com and get your free copy of Making the Most of Lent, A Spiritual Companion.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You know, I have never seen women who want to be equal absolutely degrading themselves. And yet the media degrades your nature, your beauty as a woman, your goodness. Let us pray at some point our dear Lord touches their hearts.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why are you pro-choice? That's the question of the hour. Trent Horn is here as our guest. And we go now to Heather in Boise, Idaho, listening on 102.3 FM. Heather, why are you pro-choice?
Hi. So there's quite a few reasons. One of those being it's written into our Constitution. You have in your First Amendment, the right to pursuit of happiness. Women who do not want to be pregnant shouldn't have to remain pregnant.
Okay, well, Heather, let me start you out right there. Where does the First Amendment contain the phrase, the pursuit of happiness?
I'm pretty sure it does.
No, you're talking about the Declaration of Independence, actually. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are guaranteed.
Okay, so fair enough. Our Declaration of Independence.
Guaranteed rights, right? So you do have that, right, to pursue that. So if you do not want to be pregnant.
All right, let me stop you right there. Because people have the right to the pursuit of happiness, that means they can do whatever makes them happy. And so if a woman is pregnant, not being pregnant would make her happy, so she has the right to have an abortion. I'm not following that because we don't let people do whatever makes them happy. Because I'm like, let's say Bob, in his pursuit of happiness, he wants the job that Fred has. So since he has the right to the pursuit of happiness, he kills Fred and takes Fred's job. Like, you would agree, you're not allowed to do whatever you want just because it makes you happy.
You don't get to hurt other people.
Okay, so then we would have to ask the question, does the act of abortion hurt another person or another human being?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, what is abortion?
Pregnancy is a potential. It is not a person until it can survive without its mother.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. What is growing inside of a pregnant woman's body that makes her pregnant? What is that thing?
Well, eventually it could be a person.
Right. Okay. But any...
It doesn't have to. I mean...
Right. But a potential Y is an actual X. So like a potential graduate student is an actual undergraduate student. So the thing growing in a pregnant woman, you say, well, it's a potential person. I'm asking you, what is it actually?
What is it actually?
Yeah.
Up to a point, just a clump of cells.
Okay, so it's
eventually it turns into a fetus, but that's not a person.
What? Okay.
It doesn't have rights.
All righty. Let me try to define these terms in a little bit. According to most medical dictionaries, an embryo is a human being, a stage of development in the life of a human being from conception until they're 7 weeks old. And a fetus is a stage of development in the life of a human being from 8 weeks until birth. So clump of cells is not that accurate of a description because you and I are clumps of cells, that a fetus or embryo is a living human being that's growing and developing. Now, you said it's not a person. So my question for you is, what is a person?
Person is someone who's born.
A person is someone.
You don't get rights until you're born.
Okay, a person is someone who's born. Is a dog, or let's take a rat or a pigeon. They're born. Are they persons?
So I kind of see what you're doing here, but here's the thing.
What am I doing?
Say someone, you're a vegetarian. Vegetarians don't believe in eating animals.
Right.
I know a lot of them who still eat eggs.
Mm-hmm. Some do.
Because it's not an animal. Right.
So, they'll eat an unfertilized egg. There are some eggs. Most eggs you buy in the grocery store are unfertilized. There are some eggs you can purchase. There's a treat in the Philippines called balut. It's a fertilized duck egg, and I will tell you that's very much an actual duck inside of that egg due to how crunchy it is when you eat it. Where are you going with this?
It had potential to be a chicken.
Yeah, but it was unfertilized.
Someone decided it was not going to be a chicken.
Okay, so, but when in the life of a chicken, right, before a chicken becomes a chicken, we call it a chick, right? Like a newborn baby chicken is called a chick, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so that chick is just a little tiny chicken, right?
Correct.
Okay, did that little tiny chicken once live inside of an egg and then break through the egg?
If it lived that long, yeah, it did.
Okay, so there's the thing. In the life of a chicken, you will have an unfertilized egg that will be fertilized, and then a little tiny chick, which is a little tiny chicken, will grow inside that egg. At that stage, it will be a chick, and then it will break through the egg. That chick will keep growing, and then it will become a full-grown chicken. The same thing happens with human beings, that at the beginning of a human being's life, you are an embryo. You're a very small, collection of cells. Then you become a fetus. Then you're born, at which place we call you an infant, then toddler, then child, then adult. So my question for you is, shouldn't we protect human beings through all, should we protect human beings through all of their stages of development or only some?
They're not people at that stage.
Okay, so...
And we don't protect all people from any age.
Wait. Let's go back two rewinds there. First, you're saying we don't protect all people. Don't you think ideally, sometimes we fail in law enforcement and things like that, whatever. Ideally, all human beings should have the same equal rights and protection under the law. Would you agree that's an ideal we should aim for?
Well, of course they should.
Okay.
It is ideal that all people are equal.
Okay, great. So my question here is, now the problem is a lot of times throughout history, people have tried to circumvent equality by simply saying, oh, I do treat all people equally. You know, the Nazis in World War II will say, well, we do treat all people equally. Jews just aren't persons. So what they do is they say, well, of course we treat people equally, but those humans over here, they're not persons, so they don't count. I don't see any difference here where we're saying, well, we're going to treat all people equally, but these unborn human beings, they're not persons. Because you've made the claim, well, they're not a person. I need a justification for that. That's why I asked, because I asked you, is a rat or a pigeon a person? You didn't answer the questions. I'm just going to assume you agree rats and pigeons are not persons. It sounds like your definition of a person is any human being who is born. And for me, how is that definition any less arbitrary than saying a person is any human being who is white or who is male? Why can't we just say a person is any human being?
You probably would consider then a fetus a human being, even though it's not fully a human being.
What is, okay, well, we have to define our terms. What is a human being? The standard biological definition would be an individual member of the species Homo sapiens. The term fetus, if you go ahead, when you're done with the phone call, look it up on a medical dictionary. Fetus refers to a stage of development in the life of a human being. By definition, a fetus has to be a human being. If you don't agree with that, I would be curious as to what your definition of a human being is. Like to human being, noun, period, parentheses, how would you define that term?
Humans are just a form of animal.
Okay.
A little bit smarter and they walk on two legs.
Okay. That's a good starting point. So a human being is a kind of animal. I totally agree with you on that point. But I think we need a more specific definition. Because, you know, some human beings can't walk on two legs, like people in wheelchairs, right?
They still have two legs.
Well, what about people who are amputees? They don't stop being human beings just because they don't have two legs. But I get what you're saying. They're naturally ordered towards bipedal motion, rational thought. A human being is a kind of animal naturally ordered towards these kind of capacities, even if they don't have it immediately. So like a newborn baby can't walk on two legs. It can't think rationally, but it's ordered towards that end. It'll grow into those ends later. So my position is a embryo or fetus is a human being because it's ordered to those same ends. It belongs to the same species. That way I would say, look, a human being, would you agree with this? A human being is an animal that belongs to the species Homo sapiens that has human DNA. Do you think that's a good scientific definition?
It is.
Okay. Well,
Definition of people aside, mm-hmm. or stages of people.
Okay.
Why should one person's rights get to supersede another's? I mean, you've got a person who, you've got a human person, a woman, who is developed, who is not going to be reliant on another person for basic survival.
So Heather, before we have to go to a break, I'll just close. It sounds like you're saying a stronger, bigger human gets to outweigh the rights of a weaker, smaller one.
No, I'm saying that one that's actually here
what
and has life established.
What does that mean? The baby
they should get to have their rights over their body versus a person who's not here.
What do you mean they're not here?
Or
where
something
is
something that's not even quite yet a person?
Wait, no, because now you're backtracking. You said let's set personhood aside, so let's set it aside. We're saying that they're both human beings, they're both persons. What do you mean they're not here? They're clearly on this planet. They're growing where they naturally should live.
And why doesn't she get to decide that she doesn't want it?
Because I think, to wrap it up before we have to go to a break, that might does not make right. That just because you're bigger and stronger doesn't mean you can oppress those who depend on you to live. And I think that's a fair-minded view people should adopt. And I'm grateful that you called in.
Thank you, Heather, for that call.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it is outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception, using scripture, papal and magisterial teaching, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent put forward a compelling case for Catholic teaching with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging onto the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
A devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
Let's discuss what this devotion means on tomorrow's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now let's get back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. And today we're talking with pro-choice people. If you are a pro-life person or otherwise persuaded, hold your calls for another day because we've just opened up all the lines to pro-choice folks. And we're very grateful for all the calls we have. We're going to maybe move a little more quickly this half hour because we have every single line full and it'd be nice to get to everybody. Trent Horn, our guest. We go now to Kelsey in Missouri, listening on 90.3 FM. Kelsey, why are you pro-choice?
Hi. Real quick, can I just clarify something? When I tuned in, I believe your caller Mary was had just hung up, but I tuned in, and the first thing I heard was, I think we can say that rape is wrong, right? And I didn't hear the prequel to that, so like just tuning in, that didn't sound so good, and I just wanted to clarify because I think you know rape is obviously an important part of the you know pro-life, pro-choice discussion.
So you want to clarify what, that rape is bad?
Well, when I tuned in, that's all I heard you say, and it just sounded like it was kind of questioning. I didn't know if that was supposed to be sarcasm. I didn't hear the prequel.
Kelsey, let me fill you in. So when Mary and I were discussing, she threw out this phrase. She said, the government shouldn't have a say, and I pardon my French here, you know, to be more literal. She said, the government shouldn't have a say in what happens in my vagina. And that was her argument to say why abortion should be legal. Although technically, the actual act of abortion takes place within the uterus, not within the vagina. But I said, well, that doesn't quite make sense. I think government has a legitimate interest in what happens there. For example, if a man forces his male member into a woman's genitals, that he should be tried for a very serious crime. And so government does have an interest in what happens to that female organ. And so I asked her then, so wouldn't you agree that government has an that rape should be illegal? Rape is a serious crime. And from there, that if we agree that she didn't want to answer the question because I think she saw where I was going, which is, well, if we agree that a man shouldn't seriously violate a woman's body through rape, that we shouldn't seriously violate a child's body through abortion. So that was the context of what you kind of heard the tack end of.
So good. I just had to make sure you were on the same page, obviously.
Yes, I certainly believe rape is a serious crime. And I'll put more out there because I think our call screener says that's rape is something you're concerned about. I'm concerned about it as well. In fact, there's a lot of things that make me really upset in our world from all different political spectrums. I don't mean to rant a little bit, but was the issue of rape something you wanted to talk about, abortion in that context?
Well, I mean, I have a unique perspective because I am the product of a scenario of rape.
Oh.
And that really messed with my biological mother's life, obviously, you know, having me and kind of, you know, and it's weird and messed up to say that, oh, maybe I think I shouldn't be here. I think that shaped my thinking for a long time. And I started, the only reason I kind of became pro-choice, there were, well, twofold. Mm-hmm. One is when I have four children. My first, I was a little younger. And I was coerced, pushed into having an abortion. I didn't have an abortion.
Okay.
But so to me, pro-choice is also, it goes both ways. I don't want someone to force me to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you say that you're not pro-choice and you frame it like that, but someone, you know, I think you take the decision to have an abortion or not away. I don't want someone to tell me or to force me to do something that I'm not comfortable with my body, that is, you know, to have an abortion also. I think I hear people say that often. And I don't want it to, you know, I don't want someone to force me to do that, you know. And,
right.
And I know that comes from the opposite way.
Well, let me address two things here. First, it saddens me to hear that you were conceived in an act of violence rather than an act of love. That greatly saddens me, especially since it might cause you to think the mistaken thought that you shouldn't be here, which is 100% not true. And I can prove that. The only reason that any of us have life or breath or that we exist is because God wills it so. I mean, people, you know, married couples will have sexual intimacy all the time and a child won't come from it. In fact, some married couples are infertile. They're never blessed with the gift of a child. A child's existence is always something that God allows to happen. But sometimes it's not under the most ideal circumstances. It could be a child might come into existence through an act of adultery, or through even something violent like the act of rape. The act itself is wrong, but the child is always good, and it's always good that the child exists, no matter the circumstance, because the child has an immortal soul like you and me, made in the image of God, and God desires eternal happiness for that child, for you and me and everybody else. So yeah, I'm saddened to hear about your past, and I hope that shouldn't point you towards the direction of being for abortion. I really hope it would point you towards the direction in protecting and promoting all life. Second, the point you raised saying, well, you know, I don't want someone to force me to have an abortion. So if we're going to have choice, it's got to be choice in all directions. I don't think that argument works. And here's why, because somebody could say, hey, I want to be able to hit my kids as hard as I want. I should have the choice to be really handsy, physical with my kids, even if it's abusive. And if you don't give me that choice, you know, I don't want someone to force me to abuse my children. So we got to let people have the choice to raise their kids how they want. I don't buy that. I think people should be allowed to have any choice they want as long as that choice doesn't infringe upon the rights of another person. So that's where I take it there. So for me with abortion, like, I don't think people should be forced to have abortions, and I don't think people should be forced to be aborted, which would be the child. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, what do you think?
Well, I agree with that. I just, I guess I look, I mean, I just think kind of doom and gloom. So I just look at it for me personally that I don't want, because I've been in that scenario, that I don't want someone to, you know, I just see if you go down a rabbit hole and, you know,
Do you mean the scenario where you're coerced or pressured to have an abortion?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't think anyone should be there. But that's the thing, that just as we would agree that let's take the example. I'll take the child abuse example again. I don't think, you know, there are cases where the husband and the wife both mutually decide to abuse a child. And there's other cases where the wife is kind of, she's kind of forced into it. The husband beats her too, or coerces her into it. And so we would agree no woman should ever be coerced into abusing her own child. But that doesn't mean other people should freely be able to abuse a child just because they want to. That we should protect all people from the harms of abortion, whether they're forced into it. Because, yeah, some women might be forced into it, and that's another additional wrong to them. But for me, at the end of the day, I ask, you know, what's being forced upon the child who's involved? So I want to make sure I understood you. So you were coerced or forced into having an abortion, coerced at least.
Oh, you didn't go
through with it.
Correct, but it was attempted.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure I got my facts clear in my head. So that's where I'm coming from. But I mean, yeah, I guess that's what I'd like to maybe I'd love to hear maybe one more thought from you on that. But that's my ideal, is that we should protect those who are weak, both who are born and unborn, and not let them be victimized by other people. So do you have a last thought, or?
Yes, I just think I just look at it like, and when you put that, you know, not harming, you know, whether you're born or unborn, but when you flip that over to rape, which I assume you got, your stance is that, you know, rape babies or babies that are, you know, conceived and raped.
Right.
When you put that on that scenario, I've had four children, mm-hmm. and I've had rough pregnancies. I've spent, you know, many weeks and months in high risk offices and NICUs.
Yeah.
You know, I love children. I have four of them. My husband and I love raising our children. But
good.
I've seen a lot of bad. And I think to force a woman, you know, if there's a case of rape or incest, and that's where I come from, that, you know, not all abortion, you know, like that should be willy-nilly, everyone's getting an abortion. But in those circumstances,
yeah.
that it is, you're putting the woman through undue stress. And why, you know.
Yeah. Well, what I would say here, and before, you know, just to wrap it up before we have to go to our break, is that the person who puts a woman through the stress of a pregnancy she did not want, because she did not want to have sexual relations, is not government or the law saying you can't hurt the baby. The person who has done that is the rapist. That pregnancy is an additional crime he has inflicted upon her. So, excuse me. Sorry, I'm just getting over a cold here, that we should punish criminals for crimes, not other people. So I think, you know, if a rapist rapes a woman, he should be punished. If the woman gets pregnant, he should be punished more because it's another crime. But it's criminals who should be punished. So what's hard, and I think you're a testament to this, the pregnancy that results from rape is a crime, but the child who results from rape is not a crime. The child is a victim. And I just don't think we should punish victims for the crimes of other people. That even if it's a very difficult situation, we should take the violent options off the table, like abortion, and try to sort through what's the least violent option. I agree. It sucks that this woman, after the trauma of rape, she has to keep going through the pregnancy that she did not want to have originally. But nothing will ever make that woman unraped. Nothing will ever do that, ever. All we can do is provide her healing and help her move forward. And all we can do is try to do our best for the victims who are involved and to cherish them, whether it's the woman or the child. And you calling in are an example of that. You're an eloquent, responsible young woman who's striving to raise four good kids. And you're a testament that sometimes even in these evil acts, victims come about who really should be cherished, who will go on to do very good things. I'm glad you have. And so I hope you call back again at some point. I'm glad you called in.
Thanks, Kelsey. Nope. All right. Trent. We got to take a break. You are correct. We'll be right back with more right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop Robert Barron, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest. I didn't ask you yet. I probably didn't even mention. I might not even mention this whole hour that you have a podcast called Council of Trent.
That is correct.
And it's you can find it at trenthornpodcast.com. And I know it's getting to be a very successful podcast. Is it a chicken and egg kind of thing? Like, is it a very successful podcast because you're doing a good job on it? Or are you doing a good job on it because you feel obligated to since it's so successful?
Like I have to keep living up to the standards I've created.
To the hype, yeah.
There's somebody once said, don't believe your own hype. That's in a movie or somebody, internet, help me. You guys can tell me where I'm remembering that phrase from. I mean, it could just be a general modern proverb. But no, I'm really happy with it. And we're experimenting and going into different directions. We talk about current events, apologetics, theology. So that's available at trenthornpodcast.com. And I actually just I did a poll, a social media poll, mm-hmm. about where I should take the podcast, a new direction. We've already been up for a year, and we've reached a lot of people. And I did a social media poll and asked, what do you guys want to do with the podcast? And I said, hey, would you guys want me to do a weekly dialogue or debate with someone who's not Catholic? So I did the poll, and the options are basically yes, 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 or no, keep things the way they are. And
so you had to do either three yeses, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. One of them was, it was yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I could be interested in that.
Yeah.
And no, keep it the way it is.
Okay.
When you combine the first two together, 95%, like 73% are yes, yes, yes.
Oh.
Then like 22% are, I could be interested in that. And I think 3% were keep it the way it is. So I think the overwhelming majority would love to see debates and dialogues. And so we're working on that now. Hopefully, in the next few months, we have to reach out to people, set up recording dates. So that'll take a few months to unveil. But I'm excited because, like today's show, I love dialogue. I love talking to people who disagree.
Right.
Whether it's abortion, whether it's ethical issues, Catholicism, atheism, let's sit down, let's have a chat, either a formal like debate structure or dialogue back and forth. We can learn a lot and we can get closer to the truth. So if you're interested in supporting that and other things we're doing, definitely check out trenthornpodcast.com.
I have to say a lot. Sometimes when we do this show, Why Are You Pro-Choice? You get a kind of hostility. And today I've not felt any of that. I felt very interesting, sincere, genuine. I mean, there were a couple people who wouldn't have a conversation with you. But for the most part, it's been interesting to hear people's stories and hear where they're coming from. And I felt like there was dialogue.
Yeah, there was.
Let's see if we can put an end to that. No, not really. let's go to James in Mobile, Alabama. James, you are up next. Why are you pro-choice?
Great. Can you hear me? Because I'm also seeing you live on your whatchamacallit.
Oh, yeah.
Facebook or something?
Yeah, it's the YouTube, I think. I think Facebook might be down today. I'm waving to you right now.
If we're getting it running, that would be swell.
Okay. Right? Well, we can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
All right. Okay, good. Listen, guys. Okay, I am pro-choice. Mm-hmm. I'm also Protestant, and I was born and raised Baptist. But I have a great admiration for the Catholic faith. I think you guys have the fullness of the truth, and I understand that. Mm. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. What's the matter?
No, you're fine.
Are you here?
You're fine.
We hear you just fine.
Oh, you're seeing the video on delay, so I'm waving at you in delay. Sorry about that.
Yeah, be careful.
Okay, that's funny. Yeah, no, everything's fine.
Yeah, don't look at the video because it's delayed. It might confuse. It's confusing.
Okay, so let me just pick up where we left off. You were saying the Catholic Church is the greatest thing in the world. Is that what
our Protestant friend was saying? He has admiration.
So
go right ahead, James.
Yes, I do. So anyhow, the long and short is, listen, is it Dr. Horn?
Not yet. I do play one on television sometimes. No, just...
No, you on TV?
I have...
Well, that's where I saw you. I know I've seen you somewhere before.
You may... Possibly that, or as the stunt double for that guy in Transformers. But in any case...
So you want to... You were going to tell us why you are pro-choice, however.
Go right ahead.
I am going to do that. Thank you very much. First of all, I want to protest. And it is always pro-choice, don't worry. I'm protesting that y'all have chose, the Catholic faith has chose to call it a child. And, you know, and that, I'll give an example. One of the things, I'm conservative also, and and global warming, the liberals say that we don't believe in global warming because we don't believe in what's causing the globe to warm. Well, and when they go to, you don't believe in global warming, that ends the debate right there, because obviously there's global warming. Okay. When your argument starts with, that is a child, that ends the debate, because nobody wants to harm a child. Nobody wants to, you know, commit murder.
Well,
nobody
James, you would be surprised that even in the 2 hours of this show, we have talked to people who have agreed an unborn human being is a child, a baby, a person, and yet have continued to argue their point. Excuse me. I use the phrase child because I do believe it's accurate and it's true. Now, if I'm in a dialogue or a debate with someone, I'm happy to use a neutral term like an unborn human being or the unborn in order to make my point. But I guess for you, I want to get to this soon because you're the first caller who's really put forward more explicit religious credentials. I want to figure that one out because you say you're Protestant, so that means you're Christian. You try to do what Jesus wants you to do, right?
Wait, Dr. Trent, can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
No, you can't hear me.
I can hear you. Yeah.
Please let me stop.
Captain Trent
is
fine.
Let's not discuss that.
Well,
okay, please let's stick on abortion rather than my faith. Let's don't do that. Let's just talk about abortion.
That's fine because lots of non-religious people are against abortion too. That's fine. So why then? Why are you pro-choice?
All right. The reason I'm pro-choice, and so we understand, first of all, my objection to you calling that a child.
Well, then let's just use another term. What term do you want to use for what's in a pregnant
embryo.
Woman's body? Embryo works for first 0 to 7 weeks. Then after that, it's a fetus. So fine, embryo.
Sure.
Okay, an embryo, a human embryo.
Thank you. All right. So having said that, because I thought the Supreme Court got it about right. So, unless I'm gonna have to get off of this. Delay's throwing me off.
Yeah, turn off the YouTube
but,
there.
But now I have an argument. I'm going to make my argument.
Go right ahead.
My understanding of the Catholic faith, limited as it is, is that the Church has not taken a doctrine or a dogmatic position on when the child actually becomes a human in consciousness. That they don't have your church does not have a concept or a firm concept on when the consciousness of the child actually becomes human.
You're throwing around a few different terms here. Consciousness refers to an understanding of self beyond mere awareness. So consciousness is something that only applies to human beings, maybe some non-human animals, we're not sure, but only to human beings and definitely really only in about 6 or 9 months after birth, actually, would be consciousness. Now, when it comes to ensoulment, about whether when does the soul enter a human being's body, the Church does not have a definitive teaching on that question. However, in the 1974 Declaration of Procured Abortion, the Church's declaration on that subject, it does say that because we know from science the unborn is a human being from conception, it ought to be afforded respect in virtue of its humanity. So we don't have a question on ensoulment, but my argument is simply that the unborn's a human being. The embryo is a human being, and so it ought to have basic human rights.
Okay. Well, so I would back up to the original and say, look, if you don't know when the soul enters the body, you don't know when it becomes a human being. And I understand that y'all have made a different decision on that, but I wanted to say that because as soon as you say it's a child, that ends the argument. I understand other people can continue to argue. Anybody can argue most anything anytime, but you see what I'm saying.
So are you saying, since we don't know, I mean, since we don't know when the soul enters the body, we don't know when it's a full human being, so we don't know when abortion would be wrong. Now, one, I would say that if you don't know if the body has a soul in it yet or not, you should refrain from killing. Just like if you don't know that there's a guy standing behind a door, you shouldn't shoot through that door. So I think that actually that argument from skepticism actually goes against abortion more than for it. Do you have a position on ensoulment? I know we don't have to talk about your religion, but does that factor into your thinking?
Chance to respond.
Sure, go ahead.
You made that argument. Please give me a chance to respond.
Go ahead.
You may very well be correct about that. I think it's a pretty rough analogy to say someone is standing behind the door, you shouldn't shoot through it. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a rough analogy. However, I think that the woman and what's in her body takes priority over that analogy you just made. And that is her choice to make that decision for herself, right or wrong. That's the position I'm trying to make. And for you to argue that it's a child, you cannot make that argument because the church has made it clear.
Okay. All right. James, let's go back through here a little bit. First, the church has the term child does not require the question of ensoulment to be answered. Because you can have a human child. A child is an offspring. So if we know from science and what I've argued when it comes to abortion and the law, I'm not making a theological determination here. What I am saying is that if we know from science that a human being's life begins at conception and that embryo is a biological human being, if it is a small biological human being, an applicable word for a small biological human being is a child. You don't have to talk about souls. I know atheists who are pro-life who will say that's a child because it's just a very young biological human being. So you can't just tell me, well, you can't say it's a child. Yes, I can, because we use science to determine it's a very young human being. So then from there, if it is, how does it follow that a pregnant woman just gets to decide because she's the pregnant woman? That, like I said earlier in the show, that sounds like might makes right because she's bigger and more powerful, she gets to decide how to treat that child. That doesn't sound very fair to me.
I'm trying to object because you are taking a term and you're calling it a child when it's not necessarily. And by your definition, it is. I accept that. However, by others' definition, such as myself, it is not.
But your definition might be wrong.
Your mind will be wrong also.
Well, then we have to go to a neutral source to determine who's right and who's wrong.
Yeah, but which neutral source shall we go to?
What about science?
Well, I think the church has had a problem with science on more than one occasion when they've disagreed with that neutral source.
Why? You see, here's what's funny. Okay, then I'm going to borrow something from your toolkit. Let's not talk about my religion if we're not going to talk about yours, okay?
Sure.
Okay, great. So let's talk about science then, that you look at human embryology and teratology, textbooks like that. It's very clear that from conception, we don't even have to use the word child. From conception, you have a developing human being. So do you think that all human beings should be treated, well, unfortunately, I guess that is the drum roll here. So let me put a bow on this and maybe for another show you could call back and we could talk about it. My position is simply that all human beings have equal basic rights. From science, we can know that a human embryo or a human fetus is a human being, so we ought to protect them. Merely saying that abortion should be legal because it's a woman's choice or it's her right is simply circular reasoning. Of course, it is a choice she can make. People say it's a right. The question is it a lawful choice? Is it right? Should it be legal? I say no, and I think science and philosophy back the position that I have. But thanks for calling in.
James, thank you very much for that call. Trent Horn, thank you very much for hard work in 2 hours.
It's been fun.
TrentHornPodcast.com is where you can go to connect to the Council of Trent tomorrow. 2 hours of open forum. So if you didn't get through today and you just want to call an open forum, that's fine. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.